On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate has it. Be the envy of your friends and get your 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/Shaw and enter your code Shaw, S-H-A-W, to save $3 off any new subscription. October's Loot Crate theme is mythical. You hear the stories, the whispers of creatures and beings beyond imagination. Join us as we peer into the shadows and look into the other realms of October's truly mythical collection. Get unreal items from Marvel, Ghostbusters, Stranger Things, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. You want to get fancy? Get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. Don't forget, before October 19th, go to lootcrate.com/Shaw and enter the code Shaw, S-H-A-W, to save $3 off any new subscription. Loot Crate, it's the best surprise you know is coming. What's up, everyone? Pro Football Weekly podcast back, ready to preview week 6. He is Eric Edholm. I am Arthur Arkus, your co-host on the PFW show. Our producer, Dan Mott, spinning the dials right behind us. Eric, what is going on with you on this Thursday morning?
Yeah, just looking forward to a good Thursday game. I know if people listen to this after the game, we'll see if it's any good or not. But yeah, for those who are checking it out before Thursday night's game, pretty exciting. Rest of the weekend, kind of a mixed bag, but it's still NFL, still something to talk about.
Yeah, the Philadelphia visiting Carolina tonight will be interesting. Unfortunately, we're not going to do a bunch of previewing it because we're taping here late in the week. We've got some other interesting games to discuss, Eric. I just mentioned this NFL season, weird enough that the Los Angeles Rams traveling cross-country to visit the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Amazing.
Both teams at 3-2, and I believe tied. Would the Rams be in a first-place tie now with the Seahawks in the West, I think?
I don't look at the standings.
It's too early for that, but nonetheless, it's an intriguing game. What does that say about where these franchises have come in a short amount of time?
Yeah, and they're getting it done in such different ways. I mean, obviously, with the Jaguars last week was, as good a sort of masking of the quarterback position by the Jaguars. I mean, the week before, they asked Blake Bortles to throw three times on the doorstep of the end zone. This week, they had him throw one time in the last 31 minutes of the game. So kind of a fascinating contrast in styles where the Rams have been more progressive offensively. Yeah, I guess I don't know what to make of this game. Jags are a slight favorite at home. I could see it going either way. It's a great secondary and maybe a better secondary than what the Seahawks offered last week. So that may be – isn't that crazy to think?
Yeah, it is wild to think about, but there's a lot of similarities there. I guess it was Gus Bradley's defense. Now it's Todd Walsh. They're still playing a similar scheme, though. I think a lot of that cover three, and simple is what works. When you have the great players, you can just let them go out and play, forget all the disguises and being complex and trying to confuse your opponent. You just go out there and beat them, and that's why I think I've been having so much fun watching this Jaguars defense so far.
Yeah, and I've had fun watching the Rams offense, so that's what makes this such a great style. I mean, the other side of the ball, maybe not as exciting. I guess you'd love to see Wade Phillips try to gang up on that Leonard Fournette-led run game, I should say. But yeah, for me, the entree of this game is really going to be what can Sean McVay to sort of short circuit this Jaguars defense has made just big play after big play almost all season, even with a couple of breakdowns in I guess the Jets game. And then also that Titans game, they had some big plays allowed. That's been their one weakness.
Right, yeah. They were close with the Titans at home for a half, and then just kind of got worn down by that run game in the second half. And that's what was so weird about Pittsburgh's plan last week. The Jaguars, I think they're a really good defense overall, but right now it's a little one-sided. Excellent against the pass. How does Todd Haley put Ben Roethlisberger in position to throw five interceptions 1 week after Le'Veon Bell looked like the December of 2016 Le'Veon and handled 39 carries?
Yeah, it just seemed to unravel so quickly, too. You know, like the first half, was what, a 7-6 game?
Yeah.
So it was a close game. Maybe they just were trying to find some different looks. Ben's first interception was bad. The second one kind of fluky. But after that, I understand quick change like that, the game flips on a dime. You feel like you have to throw,
sure.
But Yeah, that was some poor coaching. They just got away from him.
Yeah, the floodgates obviously opened with the two pick sixes early in the second half.
Unreal.
I think first Talvin Smith and then Barry Church. So
Church, too, of all the guys to do it, right?
Yeah, no doubt. You kind of view him as more of a in-the-box player, but he's been helping fuel those takeaways in Jacksonville. I believe they're now number one in the league in interception rate. That's what'll happen when you pick off five in one game. So what else looks good on this docket? I guess we'll stick with Pittsburgh, and now they're heading into Kansas City. We had an interesting way we hear it this week, Eric, at ProFootballWeekly.com, and our listeners, of course, should be checking us out on ProFootballWeekly.com for all of our latest stories. What's going on in Pittsburgh? Do you think Big Ben is kind of rethinking his plan? Does he wish he had just followed through on the retirement? I mean, do you worry when guys are talking about retirement or saying they may not have it anymore in season after the way the offseason unfolded?
Yeah, if I didn't suspect that he had a little bit of that Brett Favre diva quality to him, that you know, he give Ben all the credit in the world. I think he's a fantastic quarterback, has been for a long time. But, you know, he always sort of makes himself the story a little bit. And, you know, there have been a lot of talk about Antonio Brown. There have been a lot of talk about Le'Veon Bell and his contract.
Right.
The defense has been playing better. Well, Ben makes himself the topic, but obviously not in a good way. I think that was frustration talking. You know, he did the media session at his locker, not at a podium. It was short answers. It was quick. It was right in the heat of the moment. No cool down. The next day, he's talking about being an elite quarterback again. That stuff, it's Ben. It's histrionics. It's whatever. It's just, you know, his chore right now is to try to keep, it's crazy to say, keep pace with Alex Smith and that offense, right?
Yeah.
This was the offense we thought the Steelers had coming in. Now the Chiefs are that kind of team.
Yeah, it really has been a weird season for sure. And, you know, the Steelers have played, well, I guess the run defense obviously got gashed last week. Leonard Fournette goes for almost 200. But mostly they've been playing pretty well defensively. So it's an interesting matchup in that regard. Where are the Chiefs at this week? Had some big-time injuries. I'm actually not sure what the status of Travis Kelce is. I know he was in the concussion protocol after last Monday night, or last Sunday night. But where do you kind of think the Chiefs are at, just overall mindset? 5-0, the only undefeated team left in the NFL, and maybe starting to get used to this new big strike offense. Is there a point where you start to think, okay, this is our new identity?
Yeah, right. I mean, they're becoming, you know, sort of the 99 Rams or something like that, the team that just comes out of nowhere first in points per game. You know, I mean, they're throwing the football down the field. And I love last week. Last week is a great snapshot of, okay, you limit Kareem Hunt to, what, 100 yards? I mean, he kind of volumed his way there. But Kelce makes a few big plays. Kendrick West scores two touchdowns. You know, they find other options. And even with the Chris Conley injury, I think they have – enough depth where you take away their 1A and 1B and they can still beat you in other ways. That's impressive right there.
Yeah, and of course Andy Reid is coaching that thing up. It's been a beauty to watch him call plays and scheme those guys to some success. So I do want to throw myself out there because I was worried about the Chiefs offense without Jeremy Maclin. I just didn't see the receiver depth. And you mentioned Chris Conley, now the ruptured Achilles. I believe he's done for the year with the Achilles injury.
Yep.
Should we be any more concerned now, or as you said, you've got your kind of triplets with Kelce and Hunt and Tyreek Hill when they can get him involved?
Yeah, and Albert Wilson has done some things
solid
in the past. He's not, you know, I mean, he's fine, and I like their creativity. They'll show some different formations out there. You know, Matt Nagy, their offensive coordinator, you know, came from kind of a fascinating offense at Delaware. He was kind of steeped in that, played in the Arena League. He uses some of those concepts to help Reed out. Reed has made sure to point out Nagy's involvement in helping make Al Smith better. So, you know, they'll make it creative. You know, they use all their tight ends, too, in different ways. So it's been fun to watch them kind of draw things up a little differently than other teams.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They have been one of the more interesting teams in the league thus far, and it looks like that's going to have some staying power. This is a Pro Football Weekly podcast. Eric Edholm and Arthur Akish coming at you. Make sure you are going to iTunes and subscribing if you haven't already, and leave us a rating and a review while you're there so you can hear our breakdowns and our banter every week in the NFL season. Eric, what else jumps out at you? The big NFC North matchup, Green Bay heading into Minnesota. We saw Minnesota firsthand Monday night. That was an interesting game with Sam Bradford getting rolled out there for I'm not sure what reason, and then Case Keenum kind of bailing out Mike Zimmer, and of course Jerick McKinnon doing the same.
Yeah, and you know, I liked what you wrote after the game, which is fair. Hey, the Vikings won the game, but you got to call Zimmer out for this, and you got to question his, you know, it seemed obvious to a lot of us watching up in the press box, people who were watching on TV, people in the stands, whatever. Sam Bradford didn't have it, you know, and there's a difference between, okay, he didn't get his legs into that deep throw, or maybe he's a little slow moving around.
Right.
There was a sack where he just fell over. I mean, he didn't get touched. You know, his guard or center got backed up into him, and he just sort of crumpled over, and you thought, okay, it's time to pull him out of there. That was a concern. You get Keenum in there. Like you said, other than, what, the first half of the Steelers game, hard to really complain the way he's played. It wasn't terrible in the loss against Detroit.
Right.
You know, Cook's out. I understand there's going to be limitations to what they can do, but he's their best option right now, I think.
And I agree with you. And clearly the Vikings knew that there was going to be some damage control required. They made Eric Sugarman, their head trainer,
right,
available yesterday on Wednesday to discuss Bradford's latest, I guess, setback, we'll call it. Eric, how do you interpret what they said? They called it wear and tear in the knee.
Yeah.
Mike Zimmer called it an aggravation. It's been twice surgically repaired for torn ACL already. Sam Bradford's in a contract year.
Yep.
Teddy Bridgewater is potentially about to come off PUP. There's not a lot of more fascinating sort of quarterback puzzles in the league right now, not only right now, but what will happen come January for this team.
Right, because they don't have a plan B, obviously, other than Keenum for next, you know, I mean, beyond next year. Does Keenum become suddenly a priority to get him back next year? I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about all the possibilities.
Yeah.
Because you can't count on Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, nobody wants him to succeed more than I do. I think it's a great story. He's a fun guy. He's a good, talented quarterback. But you just don't know. And Bradford's the proof, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think everything's great, and those knees the stability can just wear away. And so, yeah, I suspect there's just a lack of quality cartilage in there and that the stability of his knee is not good. We don't know Bridgewater's status. It's, frankly, a crazy situation that front office has to deal with.
I'm wondering if we stumble onto a new Bradford nickname somewhere in there, quality cartilage. It's a shame. It feels like it was a year ago, but I was as excited as anyone about his week one performance against the Saints.
It was great.
I thought, dude, this guy's about to light it up in a contract year. And again, it lasted 1 week until he got hurt again. So, Eric, what do you think the Packers are going to do at quarterback this week? They've got some big decisions on their hands, too.
Look, Brett Hundley's played well in his three or four snaps per week.
I don't envy Mike McCarthy's decision.
I think it's time. Yeah. No, I just – we were talking about it on our Chicago Football Now TV show. I was really impressed with the game that Mike McCarthy called last week. It's easy to throw McCarthy. You know, he's an easy target for Packers fans stuff, but he made some pretty gutsy calls, especially with how they used Aaron Jones last week. That was, in my opinion, one of the differences right there.
And you saw Aaron Jones on that second down draw play or whatever it was, had the headiness to get out of bounds after his second longest rush of the game. Found him a little bit in the passing game, I believe, in a high leverage spot. So, yes, they have unearthed a new weapon there. What'd you think about Jones coming out? Did you know a lot about him? Did you evaluate him? Because, God, he looked really like a dangerous playmaker in his first ever start and second meaningful contribution in 2 weeks for the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I worried.
Utah, right?
Was it? Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, it was one of those sort of high-volume players that would make some splash plays, but it was such a deep running back group this year that I didn't think there was any way he was going to go. He was one of those guys who caught your eye when you saw him, and you thought, oh, interesting little player, but do I like him better than any of these other backs in this class?
Yeah.
Where Kareem Hunt is a third-round pick and you know, three guys or whatever it was go in the top 40-something picks. And, I guess five guys if you count Mixon and Cook in the second round.
Right.
It was such a deep group this year that I thought there's no way he's going until day three. You know, not the biggest back in the world. Had some issues in terms of pass protection and things like that. Liked him. Couldn't say I loved him, though. I didn't see that he would be this kind of contributor right away.
I didn't, and I definitely didn't know enough about Jones to make a strong opinion one way or the other, but I did get to watch Jamal Williams a little bit in Mobile. I know you did as well at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
He didn't really jump out that much to me, and just to remind everyone, the Packers drafted three backs. Devontae May is also in the seventh
round
in addition to Williams in the fourth and Jones in the fifth. So I thought maybe Williams would have the clearest path to playing time just because of the pass pro experience that he had at BYU, more so than maybe Jones at UTEP, but Is Ty Montgomery Wally Pipp now? I mean, he's got the broken ribs, and, right. and Jones has had 2 weeks of success. McCarthy has seen what the run game – he hasn't seen it often enough over the past number of years, but look at how the play action popped once Jones started, you know, getting up the getting those chunk gains.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a creative way to use both of them and not wear either one down. You don't want to rush Montgomery back and then I'll have him later. Williams hasn't taken advantage. I know he got hurt in that Bears game, but I mean, you know, he hasn't exactly shown what we were told he was showing in training camp. You're right, with Williams, I was excited to see him down in Mobile. If memory serves, somebody out there will probably correct me, but maybe you remember. I think he practiced the first day, had one kind of splash run, and then I think he injured himself and wasn't out there. Maybe he played in the game or something, but if I remember correctly, he missed at least one practice, and it was like, well, that's disappointing because it wasn't that one back down there that everybody was going.
No, but if there was, it was Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, it was Hunt.
But again, he still went in the third round, and it's not like everyone was like, oh, this guy's going to be the new Jamal Charles or whatever. So, but he was exciting. And yeah, I don't know. I do remember a couple nice plays from Williams, but just nothing that made me head back to Chicago thinking this could be the next big thing.
Right.
So sticking with the running back usage conversation here for a minute, what do you think about Adrian Peterson going to Arizona? I don't really – we can talk Arizona-Tampa Bay a little bit here, too. I think the Cardinals are in big trouble this season, and I don't think Adrian Peterson is going to be their magic potion. But what do you think about the trade, maybe for both the Cardinals and New Orleans?
I thought it was great for New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean, just to, look, you know, they paid him, whatever, $2.4 million for that four games. It seems kind of wasteful, right? At least they're willing to admit their mistake and move on. Peyton's had nothing but good things to say about him publicly. You know, hey, I mean, it's a win-win. It's great for him, you know, and all this stuff. But they get a pick back. They admit their mistake. They get to feature Alvin Kamara now. And for the Cardinals, I guess I just don't get it. You know, I've never known – I don't know. They have a reputation of sort of being smart and measured in some of their approaches to things. And this seemed like a little strange that – is he that – I know they're stylistically so different, but is he – huge upgrade over Chris Johnson? I don't know. I mean,
it's a fair question. Yeah.
What does Peterson add? He's not a threat in the passing game. He doesn't pass block well. Never has.
Right.
I don't know.
And they've sort of unlocked Andre Ellington in that regard.
Right.
No one's going to get excited about him, but in that third down role
that's
in a pass first offense, right?
I agree.
That's what I wonder. Is Peterson was obviously lamenting his lack of opportunities in New Orleans. Bruce Arians, even with David Johnson, he was featuring him more as a receiver than as a runner. So I don't see how this thing necessarily ends well for them. And you know, it's sort of unfortunate. Now you add another Hall of Famer alongside Larry Fitzgerald to just what looks like it could be kind of a horse show here for the final 12 weeks or whatever.
I still have them winning the 2009 Super Bowl, though. I do. I think they would have won that game with this lineup.
They got that going for
yes.
them. What about Tampa Bay? Where do you think they're at? Let one. I feel like they probably left last Thursday thinking they let one get away.
Oh, gosh.
The defense really played well against Brady, and I wasn't that impressed with Jameis Winston in a big spot for him. What did you think?
Yeah, it wasn't really even until the fourth quarter that he started getting some rhythm, and they found DeSean Jackson on a couple plays. And yeah, it's just one of those games that makes you think that, you know, maybe we graduate. I don't know what you thought of them in the preseason. I think some people were thinking that they might be the next team on the rise. But, you know, it's when you have a game like that, it makes you think they take two steps forward and one back.
Right.
They're just kind of one of those teams that, you know, I mean, maybe they're not ready for prime time yet. But then again, the defense had its best pass rush game. Mm-hmm. There were some things to kind of hang their hats on. Doug Martin had a couple tough runs in there. He's only going to get going more. I like the spot for them, but I'm a little bit hesitant to buy in fully, I guess.
I kind of like the spot for him, but Arizona went out and got embarrassed in Philadelphia and sleptwalked through that game, and now they're going to be angry,
must
obviously.
Win, yeah.
And Jameis Winston had 5 turnovers the last time he played in Arizona last year. So I don't know. I think it's kind of an interesting one. I am excited about Doug Martin, though. He really looked like the freshest player on the field, I guess, as he should coming off the suspension. But
didn't he lose weight too? Didn't it look like he was a slimmer guy than what he has that body shape where he could look chubbier than he is?
Sure.
But he looked kind of like.
Yeah.
Cut. I don't know. That was impressive.
It was a good look for him. And I do want to also just add, you know, that was a get well game for the Patriots secondary, too. So I don't want to undersell what they did. And they needed that moment and came up big for them, too. So I guess, Eric, we have to talk about the Jets at this point going into Foxborough because they're tied for first place in the AFC East.
Wow.
is there any scenario you can envision? Actually, I'm sorry, they're hosting the Patriots.
Jets are hosting.
Yes,
right.
So the Jets are going into the Meadowlands. Can that one be an interesting game, or what? How are the Jets doing? A 3-game winning streak now.
Well, you know what's interesting is that the Jets' yards per pass play has been very high. You know, they've gotten some big plays out of not as much Kurse, but more like Robbie Anderson. Mm-hmm. Those guys. Kurse has been more of a I think he leads the team in catches, but I mean, they've made some plays in the passing game. You know, and McCown hasn't been bad, and they've done some things defensively. First 2 weeks of the season, they give up 66 points. You thought, oh, gosh, if they don't have that, this Jets team's going to be putrid. They've been really good since, so now the competition hasn't been that great. But
right.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there were a couple years ago when the Jets were trending towards awful,
right.
And they beat New England there on a kind of a strange end-of-game situation, if I remember correctly. But I think New England's like a 10- or 11-point favorite. I mean, it's a lot of respect, but they do have a little extra time to prepare for them, I guess.
Yeah, so stay tuned on that one. Not quite ready to shift the power of the AFC East just yet,
yep.
But it should be interesting. What about the primetime game? You mentioned maybe we anointed the Bucs too soon. I don't know if it's fair or not because Mariota didn't play last week, didn't play the second half the week prior. But Mike Mularkey's Titans, not off to the type of start that I'm sure they envisioned, Eric. Now they will host Jacoby Brissett and the Colts on Monday night and hope that they have Mariota back on time.
Yeah, I mean, this would be a great spot for the Titans defense to step up and make some plays. Secondary's been an issue. And, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know Derek Morgan makes some plays here and there, but Arakpo, I don't know. I don't really see him flash too much. And
Jarrell Casey can only do so much.
Casey's
there.
Great, yep. But yeah, I just sort of feel like this would be a great spot. You know, you think about what the Colts are at this point, and they're still going to have those breakdowns. And you know, I love Jacoby Brissett and what he's done, but at the same time, I mean, they still make mistakes. So if they don't, if Titans don't come out of this one with some turnovers, some big plays defensively. That's an issue, and I don't know. Yeah, well, it's going to be tough to sort of see what this team can do the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, that starts again. Marcus Mariota back, obviously.
Yep.
He was he went down to a game-time decision last week, but I don't think anyone really thought he was going to play. And Matt Castle, I don't really think anyone thought
he was going to play
confidently
well.
That he was going to, right. Yeah, he would be anything of service for them. So what about the other injured quarterback, Eric? We got a few minutes left on the Pro Football Weekly podcast. He is Eric. I am Arthur. Just going through the week 6 docket. And the other quarterback who looks closer to returning, I believe, Derek Carr, it'll be 2 weeks
to
the day.
Who you're thinking of. I was like, what
2 weeks to the day that he fractures his back. And now the Raiders have lost 3 in a row, and you almost wonder if he feels pressure to come back sooner than maybe he normally would because the team is reeling right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't pin it all on you can pin a lot of it on EJ Manuel. But, yeah, I mean, I think he, you know, the way he sprung back after that hand injury last year, came mm-hmm. back mid-game, you know, he's a tough guy, and he wants to prove his toughness. The contract doesn't change that. I mean, he's the same dude he's been.
Yep.
He's, you know, so, yeah. And, you know, truthfully, he wasn't, you know, some of it was Amari Cooper, some of it was the pass protection. He wasn't playing his greatest before he got hurt either. So,
right.
I know there's a lot of talk out there this week finding kind of the bread and butter run plays where Marshawn Lynch can get going. You know, he's averaging, what, 35, 40 yards on the ground a game. That would help out a lot. But, yeah, Carr obviously is probably feeling some pressure to get some of this thing cranked up. They have a shot to still do some damage this year.
Well, Baltimore had been absolutely gashed by Pittsburgh the week prior.
Good
so
point.
I thought
yep.
last week we thought that Marshawn and yep. Jalen Richard and that offensive line was going to get well, and it didn't happen. It's been so weird, Eric, and I think we talked about this on the podcast already. I don't want to be a broken record, but just seeing a mortal version of Raiders offensive line, the Cowboys offensive line, yep. having some, you know, that was their bread and butter last season. And then I just got to add, too, and we should mention the Chargers are coming in at 1-4. They got their first big win, and again, the Raiders at 2-3 and losers of 3 straight. These teams are both in danger of losing sight of the Chiefs and the Broncos in that division, potentially. I know it's early, but
right.
What about Jack Del Rio? You know, his magic touch in 2016 with all the late game decisions, the gambling
yeah.
in the fourth quarter and on fourth down, he was timid last week. He trusted his defense more than EJ Manuel, and that was the defense that gave up 30 points to Joe Flacco's Ravens.
Yeah.
There was a punt late in the game where you thought they have to go for it to try and stay in this thing. It would have been a no-brainer for Del Rio last year, and it kind of seems like a different coach right now.
That always seems so surprising to me. That, to me, was Ron Rivera early in the season, you know, okay. when they were playing timid, and Rivera, you know, sort of mockingly, jokingly, you know, became known as Riverboat Rivera or whatever, Riverboat Ron. After early in his career, he was timid in those situations. He'd kick the field goal. He would, you know, he'd punt on fourth down, whatever. And then he had that great success doing that approach. And then he kind of reverted back to it earlier this season. I thought, don't do this. You know, be the coach that kind of set the tone for the team. Now, obviously, the Panthers are in good shape, so those kind of things can come and go a little bit. But you're right; it's not been the same. To Del Rio's credit or detriment, he did call for that wild fake punt at the end of that game 2 weeks ago, too, right, where they were on their own, 31
That's
or whatever.
That's a good point. I've forgotten about
but,
that.
But, you know, so – but 1 week when they feel maybe a little bit better about things, maybe it was more of, hey, we're playing the Broncos. I don't think we're going to move the ball very much.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do. Who knows?
Yeah, interesting stuff for the Raiders. That was a team – I wasn't one of them because I don't trust their defense for a moment, but a lot of people said this is the team that's ready to compete with the Patriots. And, of course, right now the Patriots, you've got still questions about. Things can change quickly, we know, in the NFL. Eric, let's close today. Just a couple – about five more minutes. You got a couple teams coming off byes that I find to be interesting. The Falcons at 3-1 got it handed to them a little bit by Buffalo. Well, actually, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu both get hurt in that game. More interceptions by Matt Ryan that really weren't his fault.
Right.
So it was a competitive game, but they're an interesting team. They've got Miami coming in at 2-2, and I don't know if there's a team that's dealt with more adversity of late than the Miami Dolphins, both on and off the field. So let's talk about that one real quick, and then I also just want to get your thoughts on the Saints, who are also coming off the bye and will welcome Detroit. But let's look at Atlanta, Miami first. What do you think? It sounds like Julio is going to be healthy, so that's first and foremost. They haven't really gotten him going yet. What do you make of that matchup?
Yeah, obviously, you know, they got to play. I was going to make some bad line joke about the Dolphins. I won't do it.
Do it.
Yeah. Okay. Get off the rails. Hold the line.
There it is.
Yeah.
I think it's really going to snowball for that Miami team here soon.
Snowball effect. Right. You got to worry about that. Whew. All right. Get that off my chest. So, yeah. Obviously, yeah. You mentioned those interceptions. I think four out of five have gone off receivers'
hands. Over the past 2 weeks now. Yeah. Or three because they had the bye. Past two games.
Yep. Those mistakes, I think, will work themselves out. I'm not too worried about it. You know, the run game has been pretty productive. It'll get back to that. I think the offensive line's kind of coming together. This is a great get-well game. They're coming off the bye.
Yeah, take 11-point favorites.
Oh, I mean, for the Dolphins, I mean, it's just a brutal spot. Another reminder of their, you know, they got handed a bad, you know, the hurricane throwing their schedule off.
Right.
Now they got this offensive line coach who's resigned. And, you know, the Cutler situation isn't getting better.
He's been awful for a couple weeks now. Yep.
It's brutal. I don't know how they get back on track. So this feels like blowout city.
And just to reiterate how quickly things can change in the NFL, Adam Gase last year, a coach of the year candidate, 10-6, the way they rallied after losing their starter and winning all those games late. And it looks like this thing is, once as you said, to reiterate, close to going off the rails. So what about New Orleans? Drew Brees rested and Willie Snead coming back, and that defense has allowed a combined 13 points in their past two wins.
Insane.
And I think Detroit has probably scored just about that much, and now they'll come in with Matthew Stafford banged up.
It was funny. After the first couple games, I was in the process of writing something, and I'm saying, you know, look, it's not all Dennis Allen's fault. They don't have that much talent. And then I look at them like, wait, they do have talent. They do. And I actually talked myself out of writing that because I realized, you know, there are players there. And they need to stop making mistakes because the front office and scouting staff, Jeff Ireland's done a pretty good job, all things considered. They may not manage the cap well. They may have their issues with that. Make some silly free agent decisions the last, I don't know, 6-7 years. But
yeah,
they've drafted okay. And all of a sudden you look and you think, wow, maybe this defense is more like the one that's played in recent games than the one that was just undressed the first couple of games. So we'll see. And the Detroit Lions maybe falling back to earth a little bit. You know plenty about them, Arthur. I guess I want to know is their offensive line regressing? Are they going to be in for a tough matchup here with Cam Jordan, Sheldon Rankins? You know, they blitzed a little bit selectively. I don't know. Is that an issue for them now?
Yeah, it's a fair question. Greg Robinson has not been good. Obviously, 2 weeks ago, Everson Griffin calls him lazy and then destroys him, and he had his issues again last week. So I can't hang that on Bob Quinn because he loses Taylor Decker to an unforeseen injury, and no one's got that type of left tackle depth to where the next guy steps up and you don't notice a difference. But we'll see. I mean, yeah, you mentioned Sheldon Rankins on the inside against Swanson, and he'll have Graham Glasgow to deal with. and TJ Lang, of course, too. So, yeah, I worry as much about the playmakers, though. Is there anyone that you look to in that offense and think this guy can help out Matthew Stafford on a consistent basis, potentially exploit that New Orleans defense that's been playing better? I don't really necessarily see it right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we see little things here and there from Abdullah.
Here and there being the operative word.
Right, yeah. And not enough to me. Marvin Jones, I love to see him make those big plays again. And you know, I was always a big Riddick guy. I mean, I understand that he is what he is, and he's never going to be a feature guy. But there have been some times where, you know, he's made some big plays. I mean, he won that overtime game for him last year and stuff. So, yeah, I just think it's hard. I mean, Kenny Golladay would be a nice option.
Yeah, he's been hurt, right.
If he's healthy. Right. But, yeah, with Ebron dropping passes, with the run game being so hot and cold – yeah, that's your issue right there.
I guess where I'm at on this one, and again, we're about to be done here on the Pro Football Weekly podcast, but they asked so much of the defense early on, and it exceeded expectations so much that now in this spot going into New Orleans, it has to be a spot where Stafford has – I mean, he's going to have to get into a track meet potentially, I would think. It's not like you can ask the defense to go and shut down Drew Brees on the road with Brees coming off his bye.
Yeah, I mean, your hope would be, hey, look, this has been a playmaking unit. Maybe they can, you know, make some turnovers or some red zone stops, things like that, hold them to a field goal here and there, that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, special teams, Agnew's obviously got a potential to make a special teams play. But, yeah, I think that's the script you're probably looking at.
There you have it, guys. That's a good spin around the NFL in week 6. It should be a lot of fun. Enjoy the Thursday night game, Philadelphia, Carolina. Really interesting. We'll make sure to try and kind of recap that one next week since we're not able to talk about it too much here. But, Eric, say goodbye to our loyal listeners and a big thank you to them, and we'll be back with them next week.
Goodbye, loyal listeners.
Appreciate it, guys. Pro Football Weekly podcast. Check us out on iTunes. We'll be back with you next week.